I work at a dental office, and I work from home, said nobody ever before March of 2020. At first glance, working from home doesn't make sense. How are you going to connect with the computer systems? How will you have access to your schedule, let alone make changes to it? And what the heck will the ADA say if they find out you've converted your lazy boy into a hygienist chair? To be clear, I'm definitely not recommending that you do the last one. Bad idea. But the others are pretty doable. Actually, they're downright easy. You've probably heard me talk about LocalMed before. And yes, it's the best scheduling tool in dentistry today. But maybe you haven't heard of this. LocalMed is so much more than just an easy, convenient way to schedule appointments online. With their call center feature, your staff can work the phones from home and have it work exactly how it would if they were behind the front desk. It doesn't take any tech expertise. You don't even have to remote into your office server. Just connect and go. And when patients can schedule appointments 24/7, you can have a full schedule ready for you the day you reopen. And here's the best part. If you're not sure when you'll be able to reopen, no problem. You can easily reschedule appointments from home and even give your patients the ability to do it themselves. There's nothing else like LocalMed out there right now. And despite how crazy the world is, this is the best time to get started with it. Because right now, your practice can get LocalMed's online scheduling and work from home tools at no monthly cost. That's right, guys. There's no monthly cost. The offer lasts until June 1st or until COVID-19 restrictions on practicing are lifted, whichever date comes later. This will never happen again. Get started today and get the tools you need to succeed during the pandemic and afterward for no monthly cost. Just call this number, 888-203-7531, or visit localmed.com. I'm going to give you the number again. It's 888-203-7531, or like I said, you can visit localmed.com. Make sure you use Dental Marketer 10. That's DentalMarketer 10. And it's not 10 spelled out, it's 10 the number. And then, yeah, LocalMed will hook you up. So either mention me, mention the podcast, or mention the promo code DentalMarketer10, and they will hook you up. All right, let's get into the episode. Zanya, how you doing?
I couldn't be better, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking. Before we started, you let me know that it was week 10 that we are on current, staying at home, sheltering at home. And it wasn't until then. Yeah, it wasn't until then that I realized, like, oh, we're outside of March already? I didn't know that. So
we're zeroing in on June at the fastest I've ever seen May go by.
I know. Do you remember when this, like, the pandemic happened and people were like, this may go until April, and we're like, no way. now it's with no end in sight, kind of. It's, hey, have things started opening in your location or no?
They have, to a small extent. That I think my husband's practice just started seeing non-emergency patients this week, but they can't do any kind of hygiene unless it's just perio scaling. So really, really small. Pennsylvania is one of those states where we got locked down hard.
Wow. Wait, hold on. Rewind really quick. Your husband practices?
Yeah. That's how I got into this particular niche.
Oh my gosh.
So you didn't know that. All right.
You really, really know what you're doing and talking about. Got
it. I live and breathe this.
I know. So
in real time. So yeah.
In real time. Yeah. Wow. This is good. This is interesting. I like that a lot. So his practice opened up already, but just for emergencies, or he's taken on anything now?
So they were able to take emergencies from the very beginning, with the exception of three crazy days where the governor said that everybody had to have a negative pressure room. And then he realized there were only about 5 practices in the entire state that had that. So we went, okay, never mind, my bad. And everybody could do emergency treatment, but all the rest of it was shut down. So it was literally just this past Monday that they were finally able to see non-emergency patients. And this stuff changes by the hour in terms of what's allowed and what's not allowed. It's got to be really challenging for practices.
Yeah. What has he seen in his shift? I mean, like, obviously besides like the new protocols or PPE, but as far as patients, like, have you guys seen like, oh my gosh, we're finally going back, or people really don't care, or they care less, or they're more concerned? Like, what have you guys been seeing?
So I don't work in the practice, but I get the story at dinner time every night.
Yeah.
And so generally what I would say is probably 80 or 90% of patients are just grateful that they're open and able to be taken care of. Personally, I think he's frustrated that he's seen some, you know, dental disease advance on people when it didn't need to, and those patients are frustrated. Mm-hmm. And then there's that rare one or two people who just do not understand why he could not break state laws and put his license at risk and have, you know, seen them for something not critical a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
But there's always, you know what, there's always going to be people like that. There was someone, I'll put it this way, 23 years ago when I was giving birth to my son, he had a patient who was furious at him that he wouldn't come in and see them right then and there while I was in labor.
Oh my gosh.
So there's always going to be people you can't please in this world.
I know that. I think there's that saying that you can be like the ripest, juiciest, most plump peach, but there's going to be that one person who just doesn't like peaches. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I kind of compares that. That's kind of weird. Has he gotten any type of like negative feedback on like Yelp or Google or anything, or no?
No, not reviews. At least not that we're aware of. I monitor those constantly. Just, you know, some people are just, I think it's probably the frustration of being locked down as long as they have been, and that life isn't completely back to normal, that it's this very slow crawl towards whatever our new normal is going to be. So yeah. I've told them, don't take it personally. It's just quarantine craziness.
How do you think anything will ever go back to completely, not completely, but like exactly how it used to be before?
So from a clinical standpoint of being able to treat people, no. I equate this to when the AIDS epidemic happened, mm-hmm. which I'm going to tell you how old I am. I was in high school at the time. And before that, people didn't wear gloves in dentistry. And that's an absurd concept right now. Yeah. So I believe that this is going to be another one of those monumental shifts in how patients are treated, but also in how we, you know, have consumer behavior. There's going to be a whole different set of expectations that come out of this. Just like the Depression defined a generation and you had grandparents who were hoarding food and money, this is going to have a permanent shift on consumer psyche and how they interact with anything health related.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so we'll jump into that right now. But before, can you tell us a little bit about your past, your present? We kind of got a little bit right now, but tell us how you got to where you are today.
Oh, great story. 19 plus years ago, I was in marketing for other agencies for many years and married to a dentist. Obviously, I did his marketing mm-hmm. and consultants started seeing what I was doing for him and talking it up. And I got 2 phone calls in the middle of dinner one night. And I had been doing this 3-month stay-at-home mom gig, thinking that that's where I was supposed to be in the world, which was a terrible idea for anybody who knows me. I am so much better a mother when I work. And so I literally, the next day, I was like, okay, this is the signal from the universe. I need to go do something. Bought a phone line, a laptop, and I opened Golden Proportions Marketing. And within a matter of 2 or 3 months, I had 3-4 people, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. And I just happened to be very lucky to opt in at the time where dentistry and marketing was really starting to take off.
Gotcha. And that was like around?
That was 2001, when the world was very different. I could name the handful of agencies that were out there then, and I wouldn't even call them agencies. It was more like a direct mail company or a company who just did websites. There were maybe one or two other full service agencies as we have been from the beginning.
Yeah, now it's, I mean, just in the past like 3 years or something, I think I started this podcast like 4 years ago, and I was thinking, remember when I started, I was like, I am the only podcaster in the dental. Yeah, right. And I see it now. But I mean, it grows. So then let me ask you, right now you are still doing Golden Proportions, right?
Absolutely. Yes, this is my baby.
So how has it grown from 2001 till now?
It has been a really interesting evolution. So as I mentioned, I came from the world of, you know, regular agency marketing before being specific to dentistry. And what I have seen change is something that honestly has always been part of my vision. So 20 odd years ago, I would never have gone to pitch Pepsi or Ford or some other major company and said, I have the one perfect solution that is going to grow your business. And it's a website or it's a direct mail type of campaign. And yet that's how most of dental marketing has been for many, many years. What I call shiny object marketing. Mm-hmm. People get excited about that one thing. But what has really changed and evolved that I have always believed in from the very beginning is it has to start with strategy. It has to be a strategic plan based on somebody's goals. How are we going to get there? Looking at every phase and stage of the dental marketing funnel. And thankfully, what I've seen is dentists are starting to raise their expectations for what they believe an agency should be delivering. And I'm seeing a lot of these quote unquote shiny object companies starting to evolve their service so that they are taking at least a slightly more comprehensive point of view because dentists are demanding it. And I love it because that has been from day one, that's how we've always operated.
Yeah, I like that. Where did you feel like you were having if we rewind a little bit from the evolution process or the growing process of Growth in Proportions, where was, if you can recall, like the biggest growing pain for you?
Oh, well, the biggest growing pain for me, that's a great question, was not anything to do with our products. It was my ability to grow as a leader and recognizing what my team needed so that they could deliver an even better product to our clients. And I was probably about 5 years into that journey thinking everything was going spectacular. I was given an award as one of the top 50 women in business in the entire state of Pennsylvania, awarded by the governor, blah, 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 thinking everything's great, not realizing that underneath all of that, I had some team issues and some leadership problems. And since that point forward, that's always been my journey, is to become a better and better leader, because if you're a good leader, then your team can do the best possible job for clients.
Yeah. So then you had to, where did you pivot? Or like, what did you have to change to become even better?
Education. I worked with coaches. I still do. And, you know, that education allowed me to better understand how our clients were thinking as well. And to help our doctors actually become better leaders so that they could maximize what the marketing was generating for them, which you and I can get way deep into that later if we want to. But, you know, sure, there's obvious things about how the world has evolved in terms of marketing. You can't live without a website. It's like a phone number. Social media is the latest and greatest. It will always keep evolving. But the foundation, if that isn't really, really solid in the business you're working with or for dentists, for their own businesses, you will never be able to conquer the problems that you consistently see.
Got you. Okay. And so, I mean, to me, I'm just speaking for myself. Like, do you ever find it hard that you're like kind of into that shiny object syndrome yourself sometimes, where you're like, I think I need this coach, but then I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, they're only doing one thing, but I think that's the one thing I need. How do we know for sure? Is there a way to know for sure?
It depends on the person. Sure, there's always a particular thing that can help solve a particular problem if you want to look at a shiny object in that manner. I'm not that person. I am wired very differently than most of the people in the world. I'm highly strategic, very metrics driven. So for me, I know the status of everything. I know analytically what's working, what's not. And then instead of just jumping to a shiny object to solve a problem, I can see the path of there's actually probably multiple problems, and let's take these in order so that the foundation continues to get stronger, whether it's developing our products, developing my people, helping clients. So I tend to be the rarity in that I'm not really pulled into the shiny object vacuum and black hole that a lot of people are. But I can also help people recognize when they are going there so that they can kind of focus their energies where it's going to get the most result.
Okay, that's good. Right now, Zonya, what's your area of expertise, would you say?
Beyond the field of just dental marketing?
Yeah, like just in general, like if somebody were to ask you, hey, what's your area of expertise? What would it be?
My expertise is, I think I pretty much just said it, strategy. And because if you don't have, and I'm sure you would agree with this, you're a strategic person from everything I've read and seen. If you don't know the exact path, if you don't know where you're going, any path will get you there. We've all heard that phrase before. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a clear understanding of what the goals are, and you know what the strengths and weaknesses are, and establishing a path, a strategy of how you're going to get there, then there's nowhere to go but up, because you know what you're going to do when you start ticking things off one at a time. So yes, our work is beautiful. It's creative. That is critically important. We always stay cutting edge with that as much as humanly possible. But if you don't, again, have that foundation, the strategy, a real plan, and a way to measure the impact of the plan, that's what becomes shiny object marketing. Mm. So for me, that's our biggest strength, and where we put, you know, everything that we do, I think,
is the strategizing.
Starting with the strategy. The other part of it, I guess, if I had to have a secondary strength, it would be the analysis of how well the marketing is working. Because I've never been a throw something up on the wall, see if it sticks kind of person. I've got to be able to measure the impact of the work that we did, whether it's through a call tracking number or digital analytics that thankfully have come with this whole generation of digital marketing, or even anecdotal evidence from practices, but gathering that information and then analyzing it to say, were we successful? Did we get enough phone calls? Was there high enough conversion rate on a landing page from a Google Ads campaign? Is there a way to improve the impact of this website to get more people to call? So that strategy, you know, those analytics tie back to the strategy to say, are we actually meeting those goals? So probably, if I had to say 50-50, because if I can't measure it, I can't do it.
Yeh, that's true. Yeah. Can't really grow what you can't measure. Can I ask, what is everything Golden Proportions does? Like if somebody's listening right now and they're like, oh, I might need something from them. What is everything that they do?
Well, this is the joy of being a full service agency. There isn't a whole lot that we don't do. So we handle everything, again, from the strategic plan in the beginning to the brand development, helping doctors find the right location, developing logo and signage, and you know, all of the internal marketing, because you've really got to maximize that, from new patient experience and patient relationships and referrals. We obviously grew up in the world of advertising before digital was really big. So we still have a presence there where it's appropriate. We do radio and TV and direct mail, and you'd be shocked the number of calls we get for billboards still. But we have a huge digital department. So we build custom websites, we do SEO, we do pay-per-click, social media marketing, reviews, pretty much everything. And then to top it off, we have software that measures the ROI on every strategy that we do. So it's a real 360, like you name what you need, we've got it from a marketing perspective.
Got you. Do you guys, by any chance, would it be cool, I don't know, you can think about it at the end of this interview, do like a free analysis for listeners or anything like that? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we do that all the time. We have what we call a marketing breakthrough call, when a doctor schedules with us, we can really ask them some in-depth questions to help them understand what's working, what's not working, from an objective point of view, and, you know, and really give them, whether or not they choose to work with us, some good, impactful ideas about some immediate changes they can make. And then if they do like what we're recommending, we'll often move forward. But yeah, the analysis, that pre-analysis, we do that all the time.
Awesome. Awesome. So then besides the analysis, right? Because I mean, obviously I encourage everybody to, if you can do that, right? And you're like, I need more, my marketing needs to be better, my brand awareness or new patients or whatever, right? And just butts in chairs, it needs to be better. Then mm-hmm. obviously you need to figure that out, like what's working, what's not. So then right now, what can a dentist do today? Like if they're listening to this episode, they do what you're about to say, what can they do to improve their marketing or business overall today?
So I would probably say two or three things. The first and biggest thing is to start using call tracking, putting different call tracking numbers, which can be relatively inexpensive, on every different type of marketing that you're doing. So you can start to measure. You got to have baselines before you know what you're trying to improve. Mm-hmm. So that's a really fast thing to incorporate, especially when it comes to digital marketing. You can start to see the volume of calls, listen to the calls and see how well your team does with them. But the other thing I'm really passionate about for immediate impact is conversion. So using things like we have a conversion checklist that we offer. We have a resources page on our website with a lot of different ideas for people. But doing something like taking the conversion checklist and comparing it to your website and seeing here are four or five fast fixes that if I put all this time and energy into ranking number one on Google for a dentist near me, or spending a lot of money on Google ads and landing pages, that part is great, but if you can't get somebody to convert, to pick up the phone, to mm-hmm. schedule an appointment, all that effort has been wasted. So from an immediate standpoint, upping your conversion game is a huge ROI and can usually be a really fast fix for some of what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I like, you're speaking my language because I always, people kind of sometimes tell me like, man, I got like 10,000 views or like 100 followers like in the past 2 months. I'm like, go to the grocery store and see what you can buy with those views. You know what I mean? Like you can't.
I love it.
You can't do anything like that. You have to have like butts in chairs. People need to walk in there and literally convert. And I think that's a hard thing to do. Where would that start? I mean, that's in the conversion checklist you said, like, cause I guess where can we start with like, hey, is our conversion getting better? Where do you see, this is an even better question. Where do you see like conversions fall off?
Boy, I hope for all the team members who are listening, don't take this personally. It falls off at the front desk. So we have recorded literally millions of phone calls and I have a huge band of screeners who go in and they're grading all of these calls on a bunch of different conversion criteria, because it's not just conversion on a website, but conversion of the actual lead. And I don't put this on the team members, by the way, I put this on the doctors, because the doctors have not recognized the incredible importance and impact of the front desk. Mm-hmm. That is not a receptionist whose job it is to answer the phone and just put somebody on the calendar. They are an inside sales professional. And so if you do not have the most highly trained inside sales professional managing your new patient leads, when those calls come in and those forms come in, that is the biggest lost opportunity in all of your marketing dollars. I mean, from simple things like not answering the phone, and I'm sure you know this statistic, 35% of all calls to dental offices never get answered. They go to voicemail. Mm-hmm. And even worse, of those 35%, 75% of them won't even leave a message. They just hang up and go on to the next office on Google. So there is so much success in the phone and so much value in your front desk. Invest in those people. That is a long-term investment that's absolutely worth it.
Man, I love that. I love the, it's like a bumper sticker. Treat your receptionist like an inside sales professional. Like that's mm-hmm. really, what would you say? Because I remember when I used to, working as an office manager in a practice, one of our receptionists, the doctor would keep her around because she was good with numbers, but her personality was, oh my gosh, like she would love it if nobody called. So what would be the perfect, or not the perfect, but like the, a great personality for a receptionist?
So it's not even so much personality as it is skills. This is all trainable. Okay. You know, an outgoing personality, someone who is warm and empathetic and, you know, caring of the situation that the other person on the other end of the phone is going through, that's all important. But you don't have to be an extrovert to display those types of characteristics. You can be an introvert and still be warm and caring about this one-on-one conversation. You do not have to be this bubbly personality. It's more about making a real connection with the person on the other end of the line, that they are not feeling like a number that's just getting shoved through, you know, the system, and instead that it's a relationship, because this is the first step in building a relationship with that patient. So personality-wise, just someone who's good at connecting with people, I think.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
How do you think that compares to the woman that you used to work next to?
I couldn't even connect with her. So, I mean, like, that just goes to show you, like, and the crazy thing is, like, she's still, I think, there, here and there. But, oh, well, I mean, like, you know, the doctor.
There's a place for everybody. Hers just might not be on the phone.
Yeah, or something. I don't know. Like, no passion at all. Not even to be, like, working in dentistry. She wanted to be a baker. And I'm like, maybe she's doing stuff now in this quarantine, baking. I don't know.
She probably is.
Yeah. Really quick, how much is call tracking? Because you said it's relatively not that expensive.
So it depends on what you're doing, but generally there's other services like CallRail where you can purchase numbers. I don't off the top of my head. I want to say they're, you know, a couple of bucks per number, plus you have some like permanent costs. But it is not just the act of adding the call tracking numbers. It is the discipline to go in and listen to the calls. And that's often where there is fall off. So hiring a company that can do that for you can make a difference. Like for example, I'll give you a range. One of the things that is a big part of what we do, that we add the call tracking numbers, but then we'll listen to the calls. And you would be surprised, for a single private practice, if you are only screening the new patient calls, mm-hmm. not all the existing calls, not that those aren't important, we do that typically for, I want to say, like anywhere between $150 to $250 for the amount of minutes to get through a whole month, because our software like automatically classifies the existing patients. So you're only listening to and scoring the calls that really matter, the new patient ones where you're losing those marketing dollars. So it does not have to be expensive. The call tracking lines by themselves are cheap. The real value is in someone screening the calls. The doctors can do it. They just need discipline, and I usually recommend a glass of scotch and some ibuprofen before they do it.
Okay, so once they listen to, let's just say they're like, okay, I want Gordon Proportions to do this. Listen, not just track, but like, you know, listen to the calls. Then what? Like, what if we hear? I mean, we're obviously going to hear like some things we don't want to hear, right? Like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Sure. This is bad. But then what happens then after that?
So for us, at least, once the calls are scored, there's an individual scorecard for each team member. So you can kind of see overall trends for the whole office if you have a couple of different people at the front desk, or you can see a particular individual's results. And it's going to pinpoint very quickly. We grade on 14 different conversion criteria. Everything from, was this person able to overcome objections, to did they ask for the appointment? Which is scary that we have to put that on there, but you would be amazed the number of calls I've heard where someone goes, so can I schedule an appointment? Like the patient just gets this, like, can we get to the point?
Yeah.
And so once you know exactly where the challenges are, then you work with a call coach. I have a couple of really good people that I tend to refer out to. It's not something, I mean, we can do some basic coaching on call conversion, but I absolutely love Jenny Poppy of Poppy Practice Management. That's not the only thing she does, but it is mm-hmm. definitely, that's one of her best things that she's been able to help our clients with. Tanya Burns is great at this as well. There's a couple of others out there, but work with a real call coach who can help your team see that this isn't a negative. This is an opportunity to learn and grow.
Gotcha.
And that can be hard for people. That can be hard for people to swallow in the beginning, but if they've got the right attitude, you'll really see a shift in your conversion.
Yeah. I think it's because when, especially for a startup or just anybody, we're like, okay, the phones are ringing. I just need somebody to answer the phones. That's it, right? That's the first thing we think of. You're a receptionist. But I've never thought about it the way you've said it, where it's like, you got to shift your mind. And this is an inside sales professional. I mean, they're the ones who can either get you more treatment from your existing patients, right? The ones who are like,
yep,
about it, or they can bring in the new patients. But I guess we really don't ever see it like that. And then maybe the ones, let's just say I'm a practice owner and I'm like, okay, maybe I do see it like that. They are an inside salesperson. Let me track the numbers. Am I really going to be listening to every single call? You know what I mean?
They don't have time. They're running a practice.
I know. They don't have time for a lot of things. Like, they still have to do notes and everything. And you're thinking it's Friday night. Oh, let me go listen to some calls. Oof. No. So that's true. You do have to have the discipline to listen to the calls. I like that. I like these things. So the next questions are just to get into the head of someone who isn't totally involved on the clinical side of dentistry, meaning every single day you're in their mouth, right? What would you, Sonia, what would you like to see more from a dentist?
To me, this is kind of a two-pronged answer. One is more from the consumer point of view and that I would like them to be able to display to the consumer. And one is more of, from a marketing point of view. So what I would love to see more from many dentists for their consumers is, or their patients really, is that they become more accessible. And accessible is a really broad term. So accessible can be everything from your location and your hours and your affordability, but your personality. The practices that I see that are outrageously successful often has nothing to do with their clinical skills. It has to do with how they connect with people, and that can't be taught. It can be coached, it can be practiced, but they're really just the outgoing people, the fun people. My husband is this wildly energetic, lots of laughter in the practice. People naturally gravitate towards energy. So don't hide behind your team. If this is absolutely not your skill, doctor, then you need to have other members on your team who are able to compensate for this to create those emotional connections with people. So from a consumer side, that's one point. From a marketing side, and I touched on this earlier, what I'd really like to see more from a dentist is an emphasis on leadership, which is weird because what the heck does leadership have to do with marketing? But everything that happens in your dental practice, all of your successes and failures, rises and falls with your leadership of your business. And that means you can't just hand over responsibilities to somebody else and say, here, your problem, you deal with it. You can teach them, you can coach them, you can leverage their skills in order to allow you to do more, but you still have to lead that individual. Tell them what you're expecting of them in terms of a result from this marketing. Let them know that you're holding them accountable to, we're going to have regular check-ins and you're going to report in your results of what it is that I assigned you. And all of these things really, honestly, they go back to good leadership skills. Leadership can be taught. And it is so undervalued in dentists, but it impacts everything from results of your marketing, your reputation, how many people are going to accept clinical treatment. I'm telling you, this is the number one investment that I think young practices should make. Find a leadership coach. It will transform you for the rest of your practice career.
Yeah, I think it was, I agree. There was, I think it was the book Extreme Ownership, where the author Jocko, he talks about how you can't make people do things, you have to lead them, and that there are no bad teams, only bad leaders. And so if you think about it, if you're always complaining about your, and you also have to have enough leadership to know when to let go as at the same time. If you do have like this team member just really doesn't want to You know what I mean? Go along with me. So I agree. So the first thing is, you said become more accessible, like be more approachable, pretty much, right? Not just in the sense of hours and days, which I think, and this is why I love this question, because a lot of times that's what we have. We have tunnel vision and we're just thinking, oh, we have to open more days, we have to open more hours. But becoming more approachable in the sense of to your team, that can lead to many, many more referrals.
Mm-hmm.
And then leadership. Having, what would you say is like a good, or who would you recommend as like a good leadership coach?
Oh, so again, I'm going to go back to my friend Jenny Poppy, because she actually coaches my husband's practice. And the transformation, she uses a system called EOS, I think it's the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And while it is very much about KPIs and setting metrics and, you know, tracking things, there's definite leadership coaching that goes along with it, because those metrics, all they do is they reveal weaknesses in your leadership for your business. So I love her for that. There's a couple of other people that I think are just fantastic. If anyone wants to email me, I'll send you links to a bunch of different leadership coaches, because it's a personality fit. I look at it this way, just because I've worked with my current coach, I'm on like 6 years with him.
Wow.
It's almost like finding a therapist. It's like a business therapist. It's got to be somebody that you really trust and you have a good relationship with, someone who's willing to push you. So you need to interview these people. There isn't just one who's a magical fit for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think it was an interview I had with, I think, Kira Dent, where she says sometimes you outgrow your coach and sometimes you pivot with your coach. And so you kind of have to do that. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Right now, Zhanya, what do you hate or dislike about dentistry?
What really frustrates me, just as long as I have, is that there is still so little respect for it from the eye of the patient, that it's seen as a commodity, and that the entire world of healthcare does not understand the incredible impact that a dentist has on overall patient health. So if I had to hate something about dentistry, it's that it just does not get the respect that it deserves. And I'm sure there's every other dentist out there listening to this is nodding their head furiously right now, because it's a battle they've faced their entire career.
Yeah.
I believe we are slowly moving in that direction. We'll see.
Yeah. I feel like, well, here, let me ask you something. Do you feel like we took with this pandemic a step forward in that, or because we were like dentistry was kind of considered non-essential, it took like two steps backwards now?
Gosh, that's a great question. My gut says a little bit of both, that because, you know, but then again, every other medical professional was shut down. I mean, you couldn't go to a neurologist or an orthopedist unless you broke your leg or had a brain tumor. Mm-hmm. They were shut down too, not just dentists. You know, pretty much you had the ER. So I'm hoping that it isn't too much of, you know, losing respect because they were not considered essential workers. But I do believe anything that we can do as a population and in the media to create greater awareness of health and the impact of health is good for dentistry. We just need it to be a conversation point for people. And done right, dentists can use that in their marketing to really pivot the conversation to be, you know, for example, if you're a patient with type 2 diabetes or heart disease, or you're a senior, and we know these are all risk factors for COVID, that can be a huge part of your conversation to talk about how dentistry has such a dramatic impact on managing those particular comorbidities so that patients are going to be a little bit less vulnerable to this disease.
Yeah, I agree. Do you, well, I guess it's more because in the sense of when it came to like, I guess, shutting everything down, right? A lot of the community, I don't know if they did or they were thinking like, oh no, I can't go visit the dentist. Maybe the pediatrics, because they're kids, you know what I mean? Now they have the time, and then they're like, yeah, we can go, but oh no, they're shut down, right? But at the same time, when I talk to some friends and people who are not in the the clinical side of dentistry, right? Or not even in dentistry at all. I feel as much as like we don't or dislike Smile Direct Club, they kind of brought it a little bit to the light in the sense of, hey, maybe you should take care of your teeth before the pandemic, right? Sure. Or like, hey, maybe you should have straighter teeth. And that kind of to me showed maybe we care about appearance, the straightness of our teeth more than the actual, you know, like, oh, I have sensitivity or I had this cavity, but it's not doing anything bad right now. You know what I mean? It's not like an emergency. It's not causing me pain. It can wait. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think an emotional pain point is always going to be prominent unless there is a really strong physical pain point. So an emotional pain point of I'm lacking confidence because my teeth aren't straight, that will rise above a small irritation. It is not until that sensitivity blows up into an abscess that trumps everything else. But they wait until it is those major physical pain points, those don't happen very often. Mm-hmm. You're waiting till it's at its absolute pinnacle. And yet we live every single day with ourselves and our confidence and our self-esteem. So that emotional pain point of I want straighter teeth, that's with you constantly. And I think that is always going to take priority until there's something that just, you know, shoves it off the pedestal for a short moment and then is resolved. But yeah. I love anything that, you know, when Invisalign came out, going direct to consumer, it was like the pharmaceutical companies did. Years ago, it created demand that dentists themselves couldn't have conceived of as small private practices.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I agree too about the emotional. For example, my brother-in-law, he had like a pain always and sensitivity like in the back. And he's like, oh, I'll just live with it. I'll just chew on the other side. And I'm like, you're dumb. But anyways, and then it wasn't until I think one day we were camping and he chipped his tooth, his front tooth. And I think he was just like biting his nail or something small. And he packed up his stuff and drove to the nearest dentist he could find, like immediately, you know?
That's crazy. Because
of his chipped tooth. And I'm like, we're camping. And so in my mind, I'm like, there's a lesson there somewhere where he didn't care about the pain that he was willing to chew on one side as long as he could to the point where he's like, now I have a little chip in my front tooth, like literally the front one. And he's like, I can't go to work like this the next day. I got to go get it fixed. But there has to be, right, like a cosmetic thing. And maybe because of that, because of the cosmetics, maybe that's why it was always like, oh, it's not essential. And you know what I mean? Kind of like in that area.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, people do still see dentistry as non-essential. Yeah. It's still part of your body. I don't understand how it got relegated to being something different. It's treated like chiropractors and podiatrists. It's all still the same human body. But I do truly believe that this generation coming up is going to start to improve that reputation of how important that they think dentistry is, because my kids they're in college or one's just out, and there's something about this generation they grew up with. They're very health conscious, probably because they had a parental generation that dealt with obesity and didn't exercise and they saw the impact of it. So I think it's coming. It's just going to be a little while until it's like an entire marketplace shift in their mindset.
And at the same time, I think this is where like, I guess Gordon proportions or like the marketing kind of comes in the sense of, are you ready for that? Right. And right now it kind of shows, I mean, if you look at it, and everybody knows this kind of right now, who's been listening to the podcast, like the reviews, like on Yelp or Google, nobody really ever talks unless it's like you cause pain. Right. But nobody ever really talks about like, you know, oh my gosh, number two tooth, he did fantastic with the drill. And no, they're like, the experience was amazing. It looks like so futuristic, or you know what I mean? Like the stuff that the consumers see that we're so dived into, like our craft and our work, which is great. It's perfect. It's beautiful work, right? The production, it's what brings in the money. But you kind of have to have more eyes on the bigger picture, you know?
You do. It's a balance. I mean, if you're not a good clinician, over time, that will come out. People will start posting reviews or telling their friends that, you know, my temporary came out 6 times and then the crown never feels like it's sitting right and there's a high spot on my filling. And that reputation will get out. And I tell you what, once you have a reputation, it's like high school. It's with you for life.
Yeah.
So you don't want that. So the clinical is important, but the consumer does not have the slightest bit of understanding of the nuances of clinical dentistry. And as long as it looks pretty good and feels pretty good, what they care more about is the person who did the work. That's why with all the websites we do, I love analytics again, as I mentioned. When you look at the most popular pages on every single website, and we've got hundreds that we can compare this data across, it is universally the doctor bio and the team bios and the office tour are like in the top 2 or 3, short of the homepage, because people don't care about the services. The services barely hit the top 10. They care about the people who are doing the work.
Wow. So it's the bio, the team bio, and then the office tour. And then there's some websites that don't even have an office tour.
I know, but expectation is everything. And the more that you can do to answer people's questions before they come into your office, and an office tour is essentially a question in their mind. What's this experience I'm going to walk into? What is this environment? Whether it's a video office tour or even like a verbal office tour from the doctor explaining why, you know, what is done in each treatment room and why it's important and how you take care of people. It's a critical part. It's not just a pretty picture of your reception room. It's more the, you know, just how are you going to take care of me as a person in this particular room and environment? That's why they love those pages. And it also tells people, you know, if your office looks out of date, they're not coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Right now, Zonya, what do you love about dentistry then? I mean, there could be many things, but like one thing that you love about dentistry.
What do I love about dentistry? So one of my great joys in the 19 years that I have been doing this is we were actually like literally the first agency that had a photographer on staff. From the very beginning, I have had photographers going in and doing, you know, patient photography, getting their stories, their testimonials, really kind of helping to show other potential patients what emotional changes will be made by investing in the dentistry with this particular provider. And so for me, what I really love about dentistry is these stories that I've heard from these patients. I have personally interviewed hundreds upon hundreds of patients, and they're stories that just stick with me. And when you hear how transformational it is for people, I'm not kidding when I say it's literally made me cry before, because that's why it is so undervalued, is because other patients have either A, not had those experiences, or B, they haven't been exposed to how this doctor can give them that type of an experience, that kind of transformation in who they are personally and how they feel about themselves.
I like that, because then it fuels you to be like, hey, more people need to see you or know you, and I'm determined to do that, you know, in a marketing company. Like that's good to have in a marketing company. Not just like, we're going to take pictures and they're going to look great. It's more like, this is your story. And oh my God, it touched me. So people have to see this.
And yeah. Well, you know, I've got that unique perspective being married to a dentist. I get to hear the stories when he comes home. You know, I have heard the most amazing stories of people that came in, like my husband does a lot of TMJ, TMD work, and people who've come in with chronic headaches and they're cranky and they're unhappy and they look angry all the time. And he's given me the stories of these gradual transformations as the treatment is taking place and he's relieving the physical symptoms and it has changed them personally. It's just stunning to get that background. And so I'm very privileged to be able to have access to some of that stuff on a regular daily basis, in addition to seeing it for our clients. But that is what I just love, love, love about dentistry.
That's good. I like that. Now, really quick, I just want to ask you, to you as a consumer, like what type of marketing stands out? And not so much like the SEO or Facebook ads or anything like that, but more on the like content and expression side. Like if you're walking in the mall, what makes Sonya say, like, I want to go in there, I want to buy that?
So for me, I would say it's both authenticity, which we kind of just talked about with patient stories, you know, being able to truly see the personality of a business or its cultural values shining through. But the other thing that catches my attention, just because from a personality standpoint, I'm a visionary personality. I always see the end and then I work backwards and I solve the problems to get to that end. Mm-hmm. So what I love to see is innovation, because innovation's job, whether, you know, it's in dentistry or any other business, it shows that you're a market leader, because often you're creating solutions to problems that people didn't even know they had. Like, if you think about it, Steve Jobs didn't say the problem was, I need my music to be portable. We had radios. People used to just, you know, throw batteries in a boombox and carry it on their shoulder, like a long time ago, even pre-me. So the problem wasn't portability. It was that people, he solved a problem they didn't know they had, which was the personalization of their portable music experience. So when you have an innovator that thinks like that, whether it's in dentistry or any other industry, that always grabs my attention, because I love to get inside their brain and see how they thought of a problem that nobody even knew was a problem before. And yet now nobody walks around without their music, their very personal music, on them 24/7.
Yeah. Like on their phone too and everything. Like it's, I agree. I like the fact that, it was like, do you remember when we used to have to wait for the song to come on and push record on the tape?
And then
we're like, yeah. And then the guy, the radio announcer, would like cut it off or like say like 104 KRB or something. You know what I mean? You're like, geez, guy, really? And then you had to wait again. That would take hours, man.
Oh, trust me. I grew up in that generation. That was college. Making mixtapes for people.
Yeah.
So we were kind of doing it in our own unique way, but we didn't even know it was a problem. Love innovation.
I like that too. I like innovation, especially, I mean, and I think you do have to, and I kind of spoke about this in like an episode one time, where right now, instead of like survival mode because of the pandemic, we have to be in like reinvention mode. And if we think about it, I mean, the people who did not reinvent, like Blockbuster, right? I mean, it was a software company that took over the DVDs and everything like that. It was iTunes, another software company that took over, and Spotify that took over like the record stores, right? Mm-hmm. Because they weren't thinking like, how can we make more tapes or anything like that? They were just thinking like, how can we get music to the people faster, the music that they want? Or just to their ears, not even faster, how can we get music to their ears, whatever they want. And so I think that's what we have to start thinking about, is like, how can we start reinventing right now, especially.
My dad has always asked me this question. He's a marketer too, runs in our family. And the question is to think to yourself very critically, what possible things could happen that could literally wipe out my industry? And if you can think about how could dentists literally be made irrelevant, then you can start to solve problems before anybody else, so that you actually do stay relevant. But if you are not aware of, you know, the Netflix is coming along to wipe out Blockbuster, you're going to end up a dinosaur. And you know that that's acceptable for, you know, an older clinician who's just a year or two from retiring. They don't care. It's not, they're just happy to be on cruise control. That's great. But for the young dentists that are in your audience, I would really challenge them to think far, far, far ahead. You know, probably about 6 years ago in another lecture I was doing, we were talking about innovation, and I told everybody to start thinking about teledentistry. Sure as heck, if you weren't prepared for it, now everybody is scrambling to find their right solution. But those companies who had a solution available, they were there at the right moment, and it's a hugely popular innovation that your consumers want to take advantage of. So I would ask the audience, what is the one thing that's going to come along and just completely wipe out what you're doing right now? How do you get ahead of it?
That's such a good question. Yeah. To ask yourself, because I feel like we're always asking, like, especially right now, like, how do we keep doing what we were doing? But maybe we should, like you said, like, how will we do what we're doing in a different world? Or how, instead of asking, like, how will you change to get through this? Instead of asking, like, how are we going to get through this? We need to ask ourselves, like, how will we change to get through this? You know, something like that. But I like what you said. If it comes and completely wipes out dentistry, how are we going to change? That's a good question. So
we're still going to have teeth. It'll just be a different way of providing care. Mm-hmm. So you know, don't be reactionary. You've got to think ahead. Because if you're just reacting and not being proactive, you're going to get caught in a really bad situation.
100%. 100%. Zhonya, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Absolutely. Our website is goldenproportions.com. And when you're on there, you're going to see a live chat pop up that's monitored almost all the time, with the exception of the 2 a.m. chats that I get that always amuse me. but you can always leave an email and we'll get right back to you the next day. And that, or they can drop me a personal email if doctors have questions. I help my husband's practice start from scratch. So if you're a really young dentist, I get it. I've been there. I'm happy to give you some guidance and advice. And my email is just Zhonya, X-A-N-A, at goldenproportions.com. So happy to help anybody out who has questions.
Awesome, awesome. And guys, everything will be in the show notes, her email, the website, Golden Proportions. Also, I'm going to put a link of the conversion checklist and the free analysis in the show notes below. So anybody listening, if you want to go ahead and check that out, I always encourage everybody to get a free analysis no matter what. I mean, you're never going to be 100%, but you can be close to it. So just do it. And with that being said, Zhonya, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we will hear from you soon.
Michael, thank you for having me on.